In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome. My text this morning is from the final part of that passage from Mark that Courtney just read us. And the scene is this. Jesus has gone virally, super popular. He's so popular that he and his disciples can't even find time, you know, like to eat lunch. And he's causing a huge stir, so much so that his family is worried about him, and they might be embarrassed by him because the word on the street, according to the text, is, quote, he has gone out of his mind. And so the family does a kind of intervention. The gospel says that they, quote, went out to restrain him. So they're worried about Jesus there, you know, and they go do an intervention to restrain him. Apparently, it looks like the Lamb of God is now the black sheep of the family. But everybody's got black sheep in their family. One, two, three, maybe a flock. So I want to talk about families for a minute and just say this. The world, let's just get it out there. The world has been filled with dysfunctional families since the beginning of human history. That started when Eve listened to the serpent and ate the forbidden fruit, then gave some to her husband, who then confronted by God, blamed not only his wife, but God for giving Eve to him. Then they had children, and we all know children just make things worse. Sibling rivalry led to one brother murdering the other, and so began the history of dysfunctional families up to the present day. Because here's the thing, every family is dysfunctional. Dysfunctional family is a redundancy. Every family is dysfunctional to some degree. Some more, some less, but we're all dysfunctional. That's because dysfunctional families are made up of people. And people are dysfunctional. That is to say that we do not function. Think about the word as it is played out. We do not function the way we're supposed to function. That's what we call sin. That's what the Bible calls sin. But you can just do an honest, you know, appraisal of yourself and see what I mean. Your body breaks down, your willpower evaporates, your libidinal impulses run unchecked. You can't stop that voice in your head. It's just the beginning. Jesus says it very clearly. He says it's from within, out of a person's heart that evil thoughts come. Then he lists a catalog of ills and woes. He says all these evils come from inside, and they defile a person. So if Jesus is to be believed, then what happens when you take a bunch of dysfunctional people and you put them all together in a family? You don't just cancel out each other's dysfunction, you multiply it. This is all of us. This is all of us. It seems obvious, but maybe you're thinking, wow, why is he saying that out loud? And that may be because family's such an idol, isn't it? Family's a huge idol. Family identity is sacrosanct. It is, family first. It's all about the family. Focus on the family. And it certainly is here in Virginia, where everyone who cares about such things claim to be related to Pocahontas. I have a print of a painting of Pocahontas' baptism in my vesting room. You're welcome to go see it. I claim to be related to Pocahontas, and I don't think I am. however, I will guarantee you that 15 to 20 people, through the course of the four sermons I'm preaching today, will come up to me in the line, already had it happen this morning, and say, great sermon, Paul, but I'm actually related to Pocahontas. But it's true not just for Virginians, but in all cultures, especially the first century Jewish culture, where our text is coming from today. Because your family was your identity, your family was your security, your family was your destiny, your family determined what you would do, where you would live. I mean, why do you think Jesus was a carpenter? It's because Joseph was one. Family's everything. The family, still a trope that is familiar today. So, back to the text. When family shows up in the packed room, packed house where Jesus is, wanting to restrain him. They're expecting to be ushered into the front row, but they can't even get into the door. And so when somebody tells Jesus, hey, Jesus, your family is waiting outside for you, imagine what they all must think, the family and everybody else, when he says, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. I mean, it was an explosion of the idol of family. He's very much like the boy in the Emperor's New Clothes. You know that. Hans Christian Andersen, the emperor, is a fop. He spends like all the state's coffers on his haberdashery. And then two tailors dupe him. They into believing they're making an outfit that will be invisible to the hoi polloi, the commoners. And they say only the sophisticated can see it, so not wanting to be counted among the common people, the emperor puts on the clothes and parades through the town, naked, I guess, or in his skivvies. Nobody says a word until a little child blurts out, the emperor has no clothes. Then everybody, except the emperor himself, realizes that they've all been duped by this idea. And we've been duped by the idea that family is everything. Who are my mother and my brothers? He looked at those who sat around him. That prostitute there, that's his mother. That tax collector who lines his own pockets, that's his brother. That upper-class Pharisee who's consumed with her own importance, that's his sister. You see, this is very good news, friends, because what Jesus is saying to you and to me is that you are not defined by your family at all. And if you've had a particularly difficult time, this is, of course, very good news. But if you've had the grace, by the grace of God, a good experience of your family, it's also good news because this is why. Because ultimately, your family, no matter how good it is, cannot meet your deepest need for identity, security, destiny. Only God can do that. And when you make your family an idol, you will always be let down. C.S. Lewis says it this way. We may give human loves the unconditional allegiance which we owe only to God. When human loves become our gods, they actually become our demons. In your neediness, friends, you must look directly to God, nowhere else, directly to God. Not look to be fulfilled by your family or anywhere or anything else. Lewis says this so beautifully. Our whole being, by our very nature, is one vast need, incomplete, preparatory, empty, yet cluttered, crying out for him who can untie things that are knotted up and tie things together that are still dangling loose. Now Jesus ends this passage by saying, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. And what is the will of God? Doing the will of God, say this so clearly, is nothing more and nothing less than believing in Jesus. Doing the will of God is nothing more and nothing less than believing in Jesus. Not very sophisticated, is it? But extremely powerful. Because believing in Jesus takes away all the sin of your life, all the dysfunction in your life and in your family. The gospel is that radical. All your sin and dysfunction canceled out, nailed to the cross, gone forever. Now, maybe you are the black sheep of the family. You're the younger brother of the prodigal son parable. And you've made a royal mess of things. And you've burned bridges. I've got good news for you. Your new family, your Christian family, has thrown out the record books of all your offenses. For the only thing that counts is believing in Jesus. He is your life. His life is your life. And on the other hand, let's say that you're the one who feels like you must deal with the dysfunction of your family. You feel like it's up to you to carry the weight, and you've got to be the one that everybody turns to. You're the older brother in the prodigal son. Maybe you even harbor this kind of crazy idea that you are going to be the one to fix things, to right the ship. Well, I've got good news for you too. You're not. The one and only thing that you can do is lay that burden down at the foot of the cross. You got to wade through the stuff of life, sure you do. I get it. The husband who doesn't get you, and children that have grown up and left you, and parents are still too wielding too much influence, even though you're grown. Sisters in her third, rehab. That's just life. That's life among broken people for all of us. But what I'm saying to you this morning is that all of that stuff cannot stick to you. Because by believing in Jesus, you have stuck it on him, and he has stuck it to the cross to be dealt with once and for all. Amen.